And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope you all had a tremendous weekend. Hope you really enjoyed yourselves and went to church, worshiped the Lord, and spent some time with family and spent some time relaxing, I trust. I had to fly out on Saturday morning for a day trip to another section of the country and got back late Saturday night. As I've said before, my weekends are pretty busy. And of course, Sunday, went to church. I preached. I've been off for a few Sundays trying to finish up my book. You all pray for me, please, to get this book finished up. It is right now titled, and that may change when it's published, but it's called Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves. And I give my perspective on America. It's part autobiographical, and it's part based upon policy and cultural issues that I think are important to discuss today. So I think it's a pretty good book, and I'm trying to wrap it up. I've got it written, but I'm in the process of editing and refining and all of that, and that can get pretty tedious, but pray for me. But speaking of that, and by the way, again, I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on American Family Radio, the best network in the world. And you can listen to me, of course, Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. Hope you're a brand new listener tuning in and hope you never tune out ever again. We're going to be taking some questions today and some comments from you, of course, our audience, and I'm glad to do that. Just give me a few moments to get a couple of things out. Now, you know, of course, the big issue in the news is impeachment. I'm going to come to that. But there's some other things that I think are worthy of some discussion, since this impeachment thing is both disgusting and in some ways boring, because you keep hearing the same lies over and over and over again. I don't know whether you caught James Comey's interview with Chris Wallace on Sunday on Fox, but James Comey is just, he's a human being with a lot of issues. Let's put it that way. I mean, the man is so full of himself that it's just brimming over. It really is. And he can't tell the truth. And he seems incapable of telling the truth. He and Adam Schiff ought to get along just great, because both of them are pathological liars. At least that's my opinion, based upon everything I've heard them say. And they're both completely self-absorbed. I mean, they think that the world begins and ends with them, and that they've got everything right. And anybody who doesn't quite see it that way is somehow, why don't you see it that way? If James Comey can't see the biased, unfair, illegal activities that he engaged in, like leaking information to the press about ongoing FBI investigations, folks, that's against the law. If he can't see himself in that light and realize he made terrible mistakes and it's all the fault of process, oh, I just had too much confidence in the process, and I don't know what to say for you. But anyway, we'll come back to the whole impeachment thing. Let me say this. Now, this is completely off that topic. I did some reading this weekend. You all know I'm a history buff. I love history. Sometimes I think I should have been a history major, but I wasn't. But I love history. And because I'd seen some clips from a film on Henry VIII, I got interested. You know, sometimes I'll see something on television or see a promotion, and I think, well, what is that? You know, I don't know that much about that. And I'll start looking it up. And so I started doing some reading on Henry VIII. Now, Henry VIII, you all know, was a brutal, vicious, vicious monarch. The man was truly crazy. Of course, you know, the famous song written about him. What was that written by? I'm Henry VIII, I am. Henry VIII, I am. I am. I've been married 7 times before. I don't know how the rest of the thing goes, but anyway, he cuts off the heads of his wives. That's how they most of them ended up, you know. This guy had quite a divorce plan going. And of course, when he broke from the Church of England in order to marry Anne Boleyn, he became a crusader for, you know, not Protestantism per se, but a crusader for the independence of the Church of England, and then began to persecute anybody who was continuing to have loyalty for the Pope and Rome and the Roman Catholic Church. And of course, he would burn them alive when they were found guilty of heresy. He would burn them alive. I mean, the man was really, really horrible. And of course, you read about what he did to people who he decided were no longer in his favor, or he decided betrayed him, or committed treason. Of course, committed treason was simply disagreeing with or arguing with King Henry VIII. And of course, that continued to be the case, depending upon how various kings reacted. And he may well have been one of the worst. But here's what I'm really getting to. I've said repeatedly, people call slavery in America America's original sin, which is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. It's just ridiculous, America's original sin, because it didn't originate with America, A, and B, America wasn't founded on slavery. So it just doesn't make any sense. And what I've often said is, yes, America did have slavery. There's no question about that. I mean, that's a historical fact. I say, but put it in context. Slavery began, folks, in the late 1500s. The first settlers to arrive in America arrived in the early 1600s. By the time the founding fathers, most of them were born in the late 1600s or early 1700s, in the case of Thomas Jefferson, who was a young man when we wrote the Declaration of Independence. He was, I forget the exact year, but I mean, he was born, 1720s, 1730s? Somewhere in there, 1740s, but well into the 1700s. Slavery had been in existence nearly 200 years by the time Thomas Jefferson was born. And here's what I point out, and this is where I tie this back to King Henry VIII. Folks, the whole world was enslaved. If you didn't have money, if you weren't royalty, if you didn't have the favor of a king, you were in effect a slave. Serfs were really glorified slaves. I mean, they were pretty much slaves. Scholars do try to make some distinctions, but really a serf was a slave. If you were not a nobleman, if you were not in league with the king and good graces of the king, you were a slave. And even if you were and the king decided you no longer had his favor, he could take everything you had and reduce you to a pauper by the mere sentence. He could say, you forfeit all your property and all your earthly belongings. He could take everything you have. So even if you had money, you were still, in effect, a slave of the king. And I say that to put in context America. I say, look, America was born into a brutal, barbaric world where kings could burn people alive and everybody would stand around and applaud. Where people, when Northern England rebelled against Henry VIII because of his so-called reforms, where he was closing up churches and taking their property and all of that, when he finally subdued them, he hung thousands, hung them. And I'm talking about women and children. And by the way, they were all the same race. So, folks, this idea that somehow, America had slavery, the whole world was a barbaric place. And I say this again, the most civilizing thing that's happened in the history of mankind is the birth of the United States of America. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. A little over a week ago, the Washington Post published a lengthy story with the title The Confession. It told the rest of the story to anti-homosexual slurs that were sprayed on the walls of a church in Indiana. These were posted shortly after Donald Trump's election and got national attention. Late night host Stephen Colbert showed an image of one of the church walls in his opening monologue. As you might imagine from the title, the police investigation led to a confession that this was yet another hate crime hoax. Let me give credit to the writer and the Washington Post for covering the story, even though some believe it was a partial attempt to rehabilitate the image of the hoaxer. The article also mentions the well-known story about Jesse Smollett. In fact, you could even argue that the incident at this Indiana church provided the template for other hate crime hoaxes that have been in the news the last few years. The investigator for the Sheriff's Department felt something didn't make a great deal of sense. The walls were defaced with black spray paint, showing a swastika, along with a lot of very questionable words. The actions and phraseology didn't fit. You can read the article to see why he began to suspect the homosexual church organist. The story goes on to argue that real hate crimes outnumber fake ones. Not everyone agrees. Fox News host Tucker Carlson has argued that in real life, hate crimes are rare. Hate hoaxes, by contrast, are common. Whatever the actual percentage, we should be concerned that we do see a number of hate crime hoaxes that waste the time, energy, and money of law enforcement. This latest article once again illustrates why some of us are willing to withhold judgment about the authenticity of a reported hate crime. It is a reminder that sometimes it's wise to be skeptical. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
There is no better testimony to the sanctity of human life and for the life of the unborn than the first visit between Mary and Elizabeth when both were expecting. The two unborn babies reacted to each other. Scripture says it best in Luke 1:41, quote, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb." And again in Luke 1:44, quote, "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Since Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, I don't think we can have any better affirmation of life. Life begins at conception and continues until God calls us home.
The Association of Independent Methodists. Visit AIM2020.com.
Ryan Fisher here. Yesterday was a bad day at Black Rock for Democrats who think the whole FISA thing was golden, especially James Comey. Democrats start to defect publicly on impeachment. Hallmark dithers around on the homosexual agenda. We'll have a catastrophic global warming update. And what will Warren Buffett's eternal punishment be? That and more next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So you could ask the question, well, now, Bishop Jackson, if what you say is true, if the whole world was really plunged in slavery and subjugation and exploitation and oppression of people across all racial, all demographic lines, generally, by the way, the oppression happening within the homogeneous demographic group. In other words, Europeans oppressing other Europeans, British oppressing other British, Spanish oppressing other Spanish, and Chinese oppressing other Chinese, Africans oppressing other Africans, and so on down the line. Well, then why is it that American slavery seems to loom so large in the minds not only of Americans, but around the world? That people point the finger at America. America had slavery. The founding fathers had slavery. You know, the left likes to use the word contextualize. We like to contextualize things. Well, if you contextualize that, you realize the founding fathers inherited the institution that had begun by the Portuguese back in the late 1500s, late to mid 1500s. So really, America just basically came into a cultural milieu that in which slavery was just part of the landscape, just something that happened. And by the way, I'm talking about the African slave trade, the Atlantic slave trade, as it's often referred to. I'm not talking about slavery in general, because slavery in general was already happening in Europe before the Atlantic slave trade started. But here's why America gets such a bad rap. Now, follow me closely, folks. It is for the same reason why the things that happen in New York make more news. Because New York is one of the largest cities in the country, and it is the media center of the world. And so what happens in New York, the world tends to know about. Well, America is the economic, political, literary, entertainment, you name it, we are the center of the world. We are the center of the world. So whatever happens in America is going to be magnified. Folks, that's why all over the world, you got kids rapping in Chinese and rapping in Spanish and rapping in Russian and rapping in every language there is. They're rapping. Why? Because this American phenomenon began and it caught on everywhere else because America's really the center of the universe in terms of this natural world. And when people know that you're the center of the universe, there's always those who want to bring you down. There's always those who want to knock you off your pedestal. So in spite of the fact that the whole world was plunged in slavery, they look at America. Oh, America, you know, America was had slaves and America's founding fathers owned slaves. And they don't want to deal with the fact that all over the world, people of prominence, of power, of money, of wealth, of royalty where that applied, all owned slaves. Now, they weren't necessarily African slaves, but they were slaves nonetheless. And so, folks, I'm not making an apology for slavery here at all, because we know that slavery grows out of the evil of the human heart. And it, as far as I'm concerned, it began in the earliest stages. I mean, the most prominent story of the Old Covenant is what? The deliverance of the children of Israel out of slavery. So why point the finger at America? Because America is the center of the universe, and it's easy to criticize America as if America's done some unique thing the rest of the world was above it. Please. Now, here's the other reason. The other reason is that there are anti-American ideologies like communism, socialism, Marxism, fascism, you name it, totalitarianism of whatever stripe it may take. And America, as the beacon light of freedom for the world, must be taken down because America is in the way. America reminds people all over the world that you are inherently free. God made you free, and anybody who keeps you from being free is against you and against God. That's not a message that communist China wants to hear. That's not a message that Venezuela wants to hear. That's not a message that Vladimir Putin wants to hear. See, so you point the finger. And by the way, you know, in discussions during, like when Kennedy was arguing with Khrushchev and having his debates with him, and Khrushchev was saying, we will bury you. Throughout the Soviet Union's history, they used to point at America's racial problems to prove that America was a far worse system than the Soviet Union. So there is a community of leftists who magnify America's historic mistakes, America's historic faults, shortcomings, call them what you will, in order to prove that we're so much less than what others think us to be and what we claim to be. Well, they're liars. We're all that we claim to be as a nation and more. Now, we're not perfect. We know that. I know that. But I'll tell you what. You can't even put other countries that have existed or do exist in the same comparative space with us, because we stand head and shoulders above everybody, every nation that's ever existed in terms of producing the highest standard of living, the greatest level of freedom, the greatest level of opportunity, the greatest opportunities for education, the greatest opportunities to exercise your God-given gifts and talents and abilities, the most freedom of conscience to speak your mind, to say what you say, what you think, and to not be arrested, prosecuted, jailed, tortured, killed for it by your government. I mean, there are nutcases out there who want to hurt people because of where they stand or the positions that they hold. But we Christians aren't among them. So folks, I just thought about that because it just, about when I was reading about Henry VIII, it just confirmed what I've been saying for years now, which is it is not as if the whole world were a utopia and along came America and messed it up. The fact of the matter is that the world was a barbaric, dark, ugly, oppressive place. And America came along and civilized it. Yeah, we inherited that time, that framework, that culture, but we civilized it beyond anything that any nation had ever done before when we posited America with the principle that our rights and our freedom comes from Almighty God. And that no king, no president, no potentate, no government has a right to take away those unalienable rights. You know what unalienable means, right? It means you cannot separate those rights and those freedoms from us as human beings. They are inherent in who we are. So forgive me, I went on with that longer than I intended to, but you know, from time to time, I just have to share that thinking with you because part of my quest in life is to get people to think differently about the history of this country and the poisoning and the propaganda that the left has so effectively done with our young people and with a lot of people who have become convinced that somehow America is an evil nation, a racist nation, an oppressive nation, a sexist nation, blah, 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 blah. As if America didn't come into a time and place in the world when, yeah, all of that stuff might have been happening, but America transcended it. And so I say, God bless America and thank God for America because the whole world is a better place because America exists. And I know my life is so much better than if I had been born any other place on earth. All right, listen, I'm going to start taking your calls. I want to get a couple things out, but I'll give you the number now. The number is 888-589-8840. Make a note of it. 888-589-8840. I want to mention Hallmark, folks. My wife loves Hallmark. I don't really watch it. I mean, occasionally I'll sit down with her and she's watching something. I'll watch it because, you know, she's watching it. But I don't tune to Hallmark. I don't even watch network television, to tell you the truth, because, you know, I tend to spend a lot of time either reading or listening to books. And I tend to watch internet television and pick and choose the things that I'm interested in rather than having to go through all the commercials and you know, all the stuff that, you know, you get with network television or cable television for that matter. But my wife loves Hallmark. Well, you know, Hallmark has now decided that they're going to start doing homosexual storylines. And they started with a commercial that this Zola company created for them with these two women getting married. Now, just think about that. I mean, folks, every time, I just shake my head every time I see this stuff. At any rate, they got complaints from listeners, viewers, and they pulled the ad. And now they've gotten complaints from the LGBT community, and they put the ad back. You know what? Hallmark was purchased, was sold. The United Methodist Church sold that cable network to Hallmark, and the Christians who were involved in that must be turning over. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
In the book of Proverbs, we read these words, "A man's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. His name was Thomas Jefferson. He was born at Shadwell, Virginia, on April the 13th, 1743. He died on July the 4th, 1826. The date was a tribute to the man, and in between those two dates, he tied together a life of service to his fellow man. You probably remember him as the author of the Declaration of Independence, and most of all, he would have wanted you to remember him for that. He even wrote his own epitaph. He had a reason for doing so. Before his death, he gave his daughter Martha Randolph instructions to have these words inscribed on his headstone. Here was buried Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of American Independence, of the Statute of Virginia for Religious Freedom, and father of the University of Virginia. You know, that's saying a lot about a man's life, any man's life. Jefferson could have put more on that headstone, you know. He could have added a long list of accomplishments. He could have stated that he had served the state of Virginia as its governor. Most of us, had we the honor of being governor, would have included it in our epitaph, but not Jefferson. Also, he could have stated that he was a member of Congress, for he was, but he didn't choose to put that on his headstone. Jefferson could have also reminded those who were to view his headstone of the fact that he was minister to France and Secretary of State. He was that, you recall, under the administration of George Washington. And that would have been something worth recalling for most of us, but not for Jefferson. From that position, Jefferson moved up to the number two man of these United States. He served as vice president under John Adams. But not even that was included on his headstone. Had he wished, Jefferson could have engraved on his headstone the fact that he was president of this country, not once, but twice. And that's an honor shared by very, very few men. But Jefferson did not consider even that fact worthy to be included in his most precious accomplishments. Most of us would agree that pride is often a vice that destroys us. We accomplish something, and we cannot wait for the world to learn of our deed and praise us for doing it. And many of us keep telling people years after our accomplishment of what we once did. Some people learn how to handle pride. Jefferson was such a man. He learned how, like all people who do so, through a great desire to be a servant. Why didn't Jefferson include all those other accomplishments on his headstone? Well, he told his daughter when she sought the reason. The things that are not on my inscription are the things the people did for me, he said. The things that are on it are things I did for the people. That's proper control of pride. Pray to God that we can all acquire it.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So, folks, the Hallmark Channel has caved in just like Chick-fil-A did, and they've returned these lesbian ads to the Hallmark Channel. My wife liked Hallmark because she said, you know, it's clean entertainment, it's romantic, it's fun, it's family-oriented, and now they're about to ruin it by adding the homosexual storyline and homosexual ads to Hallmark. So I guess that'll be one more place where you won't be able to get entertainment without having homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism pushed in your face. And by the way, since I've gotten a lot of negative responses, particularly, of course, from the left about my views on homosexuality, I thought that rather than just expounding on it myself, I thought I would just once again do what I've often said is the wiser approach to this, and simply remind those who are listening, who are monitoring the program, looking for something nasty to say about me because of my position on homosexuality, don't argue with me, argue with God. Because Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 20, says the following, and this, I don't have an opinion about homosexuality. I simply believe what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says the following. Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man, birds, and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness. I'm reading from the New King James Version, by the way. Uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one for another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. That's not Bishop Jackson's opinion. That's just what the Word of God says. The Word of God says it's unclean. The Word of God says it dishonors their bodies. The Word of God says it's vile passion. The Word of God says it's shameful. And the Word of God says you will receive the penalty of your error, which is due. Now, here again, that's New Testament. That's not Old Testament. That's New Testament. And folks, that's my view. My view is what the Bible says. Hallmark has decided. Now, look, come on. Either one of two things is true. Either that's the truth, and every human being is ultimately going to answer for that truth, or that's a lie. And there's nothing wrong with homosexuality, and people can do whatever they want to do, and there's no God to answer to. Or if there is a God, He doesn't have a problem with it. But you can't have it both ways. So either Hallmark is doing something that has absolutely no moral implications whatsoever, or Hallmark, like many others, is going in direct defiance of the Word of God. And therefore, they too will become the the beneficiaries of the penalty that is due. They will share in that penalty. And I'm not going to share in that penalty. Look, I'm not a perfect human being. I've got plenty that I have to repent for and ask God to help me and deliver me. And I mean, and I'm not going to go into my faults. We know we all have them. Okay? We all have them. But I tell you what I'm not doing. I'm not standing up, shaking my fist at God, saying, that's just the way I'm going to be, whether you like it or not. This is the way I am. No. If I feel that I have a fault in some area, I say, Lord, help me, forgive me, strengthen me. I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to live a life that is pleasing in your sight. But this stuff of shaking your fist in God's face and telling God that He can go jump in the lake and you're going to do what you want to do, folks, that's not going to work. It's not going to work on this earth. But it's certainly not going to work in eternity. So, and then the last thing, and then I'm going to come to your calls. I think I got time to get a couple phone calls in. The number is 888-589-8840. I don't know whether you all caught this one, but wow, folks, this is hard to say, but let me say it anyway. A Seattle official has just been suspended for having organized a transgender stripper to do her display at a city homelessness conference. A transgender stripper to do her topless dance at a homelessness conference. And just listen to this real quick. I mean, this just goes to show, and Hallmark should not be going down this degenerate road, but this is where this stuff takes you. And folks, we haven't even seen the bottom of it yet. I mean, this, because there's no limit to the depths of depravity to to which people will sink when they don't have God and they reject God's word and reject God's morals and reject God's law. It says, some saw the performance as fun, fabulous, and a rare opportunity for queer people of color, St. James is black, to be represented in the sort of space usually dominated by straight white people. See, they got to make this racial. Others disagreed, complaining that the show was too sexual and forced people to participate in a sexualized performance without prior consent. Well, thank God there's still some sane people in Seattle. The number is 888-589-8840 to comment on anything I've talked about or anything else you want to bring up. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Quincy in North Carolina. Quincy, welcome.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Yes, I agree with you 100% on all that you said. And one question I think is good to ask the audience. What good thing can you choose from any man that's proven Jesus that he has done that you cannot bring up something bad in his history that someone would try to discount?
Wow. Yeah. Quincy, I'll tell you, man, that is a powerful, powerful point. And I have made that point, and I'm so glad you brought it up. Which one of us could withstand the kind of scrutiny where no matter what good you've done, somebody can go back and find something bad you did and say, oh, but see, you did that. You did that. I mean, you're right. If that's the standard, none of us passes. Nobody. So, and Quincy, that's what I always say when it comes to the founding fathers. Yes, they were slaveholders, but it's not like they invented the practice. They were introduced to it as children. They grew up in it. And the fact that George Washington released all of his slaves upon his death, the fact that most of them denounced slavery during their lifetime and realized it was incompatible with who we are, to me is remarkable. Because, of course, and there were those, of course, we know there were those who absolutely dug in their heels and they just weren't going to relent. But almost all of our founding fathers ultimately came to the view that it was morally wrong and insupportable. Why don't we give them credit for that? Well, you know, now that doesn't fit the leftist narratives that people want. So, and you're right. And I certainly wouldn't want to be judged by the standard with which they judge our founding fathers. Let's see if we can get one more quick call in. Let's go to Angela in Virginia. Angela, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, Angela, you're on.
Hello. Yes, I just wanted to let you know I appreciate you. You're an answer to prayer. I pray daily for God to continue to raise up godly pastors like you have, how you speak the word in truth and in love. And so God bless you, and just want to let you know I'm praying for you and all pastors that listen up the word of God, and thank God for a station that allows the word of God to go forth. And
amen. Thank you so much, Angela. We'll be back in a moment, folks.
Enjoying life and marriage, according to Ecclesiastes 9:9, is a decision. It's not an outcome.
Ted Cunningham on Focus on the Family Minute.
It's something you decide. It's something you choose, not something you wait for. Not waiting for a certain season in life. You make the decision. Let's enjoy life together. And be honest with you, the first 7 years of marriage, Amy and I, we did not enjoy it. We were in love and we were committed and we removed the divorce word from our marriage. But man, we had the struggles early in marriage, as many young couples do. Until about 7 years in, we made the decision that we are going to enjoy life together. And my wife, Amy, is way better at this than I am. She said, you know what? We're going to have fun with everything. Anything irritating, frustrating, annoying, pet peeves, we're just going to choose to find a way to enjoy life together.
Choose to have fun with your spouse and enjoy life together. More from Ted at FamilyMinute.org.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal, but you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry with 400,000 members. They've shared over $2 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. And with MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And that's a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Wow, some great, great comments. Thank you all. You really hit the nail on the head in the comments that you all have made. And I do appreciate it. We do want to see more pastors begin to speak up. And I do thank God for this network that allows us to tell the truth rather than bowing to political correctness. The number is 888-589-8840. I'm going to get to as many of your calls as I can. So let's go right to Sonia in Ohio. Sonia, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for the program. I just wanted to let you know that I signed up with 1 Million Moms, and I get their emails. And I got an email that says that they have personally spoken to the CEO of Hallmark, and they pulled the commercial off, and they said that it aired in error. So the commercial of the Zola commercial with the lesbian couple, I think, is pulled off the air.
Now wait a minute. It's been reported, Sonia, just in the last few hours that they're restoring it and they're apologizing for having pulled it.
Are they really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I got this email yesterday. So.
Right. Well, yes. Wow. Been breaking news. Breaking news today. They're apologizing to the LGBTQ community and they're restoring the ad. So this is which is another reason why I'm glad to hear you're supporting 1 Million Moms, because these networks need to hear from Christians. They need to hear from the average American citizen who wants to sit down and watch television with their child and then want to have to explain why two women or two men are kissing or getting married. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? So Sonia, yeah, unfortunately, that's the latest news. So stay with them, Sonia. Don't give them a pass, okay? Let's go to Michael in Texas. Michael, welcome.
Yes. I call about because I've heard a lot of pastors and people that I say that are in the Christianity faith, they keep using the acronym, the LGBTQ2 acronym. And what they're doing is they're giving validity to what they call their stated sexuality. And rather than whenever you talk to them and you use this, what you're doing is you're saying, okay, you recognize me as this, but what it is, as you stated earlier, this is homosexuality. It's not lesbianism. Two men homosexuals, if two women aren't, they're homosexuals.
Right.
They're not all that acronym. So when you keep using that, you validate their identity as they identify themselves. Even when they say transgender, I don't recognize that statement. There's no such thing, because I'll go to what Christ said. He's talking to apostles. He said, and we created both male and female. That's it. That's all you have, male, female. There is no other. God makes no mistake. Man chooses to corrupt himself.
I got you, Michael. I got you, and I agree with you. Let me ask you, though, Michael. What would you use to describe a person who is a man who thinks he is a woman, or a woman who thinks she is a man, or somebody who thinks they're moving from a man to a woman? I hear you, and I agree with you 100%. The language is so pervasive that you almost end up using it because you've got to either that or come up with some vocabulary of your own in some cases. So how would you describe a person who is moving, thinks they're moving from one gender to another?
It's called perversion.
Oh, okay. Just the general term, perversion. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Michael, look, like I said, I don't agree with you. You're right. It is perversion. There's no question about that. That's kind of general, but your point is well taken, Michael. Thanks for the call, too. Let's go to David in Oklahoma. David, you're on.
Yes, sir. Enjoy your program. I was wondering if any of y'all seen or have responded to last Wednesday night on the CBS Evening News with Norah O'Donnell. There was a clip in there, you can Google it and see it, that said that Mike Bloomberg was going to make available $10 million to Democrats that would vote against Donald Trump in those areas where if they would vote against him for impeachment, he would make $11 million available for them, or $10 million. I don't remember exactly which one it was. Have y'all heard that?
I had not heard that. In other words, he would support their candidacies with another $10 million if they would support the impeachment of Donald Trump.
Yeah, if they would vote to impeach him, then he would.
Yeah.
He would put.
Yeah.
Is that not a quid pro quo, and should disqualify Michael Bloomberg from the presidency?
You know, you're raising a very good point, David. That might even be illegal. I'd have to double check that, but that to me comes very, very close to paying someone off to cast a vote in Congress. If I approached a congressman and said, hey, listen, if you vote for this legislation I support, I'll give you X dollars. That's a bribe. And you're right. If President Trump's saying to President Zelensky of the Ukraine, hey, do me a favor and investigate this. If that's quote unquote supposed to be a bribe, according to leftists, and Michael Bloomberg is saying, vote to impeach the president and I will pay you money, what is that? So, David, I'm going to look into that, but you raise a very good point. So thanks for the call, David. Let's go to Becky in South Carolina. Becky, welcome.
Hi. I just have something to say about the homosexuality kind of myth that's going on. I feel like a lot of women who decide to be with other women were hurt, raped, or molested by men, and so they go that way. I feel like a lot of men tend to think that they are a woman when there are so many households raised without a father, a lot of women around, and they just get raised around a whole lot of women, so they act like women. But my thing is, I am a Christian, I love the Lord, and I believe what the Bible says. I even have a sister who is a lesbian and is married another woman, and I pray for them. But my thing is, I feel like a lot of Christians come at them with condemning them and with hate. And I wish that more of us would come in a loving way and let them know that, you know, you may feel that way, but the heart is deceitful and we don't go by our emotions or our feelings, and that the Bible says that God made man and woman, and husband and wife is a marriage, not a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, but come in a more loving way.
Well, don't go, Janet. Hold on, Janet. Let me just say this to you. Now you realize, of course, that in far left precincts, as nice as you sound, as kind as you sound, as loving as you sound, what you just said from their perspective constitutes hate speech. You realize that, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I do. But it's not.
Exactly. And so, look, you're right. That's why I don't call names. On one occasion, I had somebody on, but because of the, you know, because I have a crack production staff, they caught it before it aired. We don't call names. Right. We don't insult people like that. But they'll never give us credit for that, because if you quote the Bible, as I just did, you know, they would say that the passage of Romans I just quoted is hate speech. So for we Christians,
I know, and that's just in their perverted mind. Some have gone to the reprobate mind, but there are still some who, like I'm saying, that might have been molested as a little girl, right, by their stepfather or something. So they now have a hatred towards men and decide they would rather be with a woman because men are perverted or nasty or because of what they did. Those type of people you can reach with love. And I just know that a lot of Christians come and condemn, like, oh, you're going to hell for this, instead of coming in a loving way like I feel Jesus would, you know. But yes, there's still some that will see it as hate. But
okay. All right. Janet, listen, you made the point, and you made a good one. And that's why we always try to remind people on this program that we love them. We don't hate them. But if they define hate as standing on the word of God and believing what God said about sexual morality, well, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do. If by definition, my being a Bible-believing Christian who believes what God said about sexual morality makes me a person of hatred, well, I mean, end of discussion. I'm not a person of hatred, but I'm not going to stop standing on the word of God to convince people that I really love them. What I'm going to do is not hate them, pray for them. I've said before, we would defend if we saw somebody, probably any Christian listening to me, you saw somebody attacking somebody because they're homosexual, you'd probably step in yourself and put a stop to it, because we don't hate people. We don't want to hurt people. But here again, you're not going to get credit from them because they're on an agenda. And by the way, I'll tell you what I haven't heard. Oh, my goodness, I'm close to the end, too. But I tell you what I haven't heard, and this we need to recognize. All of that stuff that Janet just mentioned, the devil steps in, takes advantage of that. And a lot of these folks end up being demonically possessed, or certainly deeply demonically influenced. This stuff, Satan traffics in this stuff. He is the master of homosexuality, okay? The Bible even mentions that the Antichrist would not experience the love of women. It implies that he's some kind of sexual deviant. So, folks, this stuff is deeply demonic. Now, they're victims of Satan. They don't know it, but we got to call it out and recognize a lot of times what these people need is to have the devil cast out, you know, because Satan definitely gets in on this stuff. Becky, oh, no, wait a minute. Have I taken care of anybody? Oh, it's too late. I thought I was going to have a chance to get you in, Becky. Call me back another time. Thank you all for the calls. Very insightful, very pointed comments. I really appreciate them, because you stimulate my thinking, so I know you stimulate the thinking of everybody who's listening as well. Listen, God bless each and every one of you. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep loving. We're going to keep working. We're going to keep speaking up for what we know is right. And we know that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.